The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yoav Drian.
Okay, this is Simon Lamed Ches, Simon 38, the halachos of pas goyim, of bread baked by a non-Jew, bishulei goyim, food cooked by a non-Jew, v'chalev goyim, and milk milked by a non-Jew, and it contains 15 se'ifim. Before we begin, I just wanted to offer a small introduction. These are generally the rabbinic decrees on the laws of kashrus. The laws of kashrus are very complex, and they contain many Torah laws, such as the need to slaughter meat ritually, to shecht it, such as the prohibition of mixing milk and meat, such as the prohibition from ingesting non-kosher foods, like certain seafoods or animals like pig. So those are all Torah decrees. These are additional rabbinic decrees that are in place in order to safeguard the laws of kashrus, and for other reasons, as we shall see. One of the main reasons for preventing the consumption of these foods is that when you sit down to a meal with someone, when you break bread with someone, as it were, it leads to undue intimacy. And many of these laws were instituted by our sages in the Gemara to prevent undue intimacy or inappropriate intimacy between Jews and non-Jews, which could lead to intermarriage. And in the terms of halacha, this is usually called mishum chasnus, so that it shouldn't come to make a chasna or to marry. Okay. Sif Aleph. Asru chachamim le'echol pas shel goyim. Our sages forbade eating bread baked by a non-Jew. Now, this is if all ingredients are kosher, right? Obviously, if you have a question on the kashrus of the ingredients, so then it could be non-kosher, and then this law wouldn't even begin. The yesh makomos, and there are some places, shemekilin, that they are lenient with this, right? Meaning that that they are lenient. The lokhin pas minachtom goy, and they take bread from a nachtom, a baker, or a non-Jewish baker. The makom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael. But this is provisional, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, where there is no baker who is Jewish. O afilu yesh, or even if there is a Jewish baker available, ella she'en hapas yafek moze. Rather, that the bread that is available at the Jewish bakery is not nice like the bread at the non-Jewish bakery. Meaning that it's possible that a person is lenient and partakes of bread baked by a non-Jew. However, it must be bread baked by a non-Jewish baker. And condition number one, or say like first line, would be that there's no Jewish bakery available, and therefore the person resorts to the non-Jewish bakery, or that there is a Jewish bakery, but the wares, the goods, are not on the same level of quality. That is what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says. Aval, however, as a qualifier, bepascha balei batim goyin ein makilin. While there may be those who are lenient regarding commercially produced bread, pas shel balei batim, but bread baked by a private person who is a non-Jew, ein makilin, there is no room to be lenient. Ach b'sh'as adchak, however, if there is a very extenuating circumstance, umishu baderach, and if someone is traveling, im yachol hasig pas kasher, if a person is able to acquire bread that is kosher, meaning that is baked by a Jew, terech lehamten ad parsa, he should wait until the equivalent distance of travel of a parsa. Parsa is a measurement roughly around 2 miles. Velo mikre pas bal habayis, elei masal b'shvil b'nei beiso. So, it is not called bread that is produced by a private person unless the person baking it baked it for private consumption. He made it for b'nei beiso, for the people of his household. Aval, however, im asal limkar, if he made it in order to sell, mikre pas nachtom, it's called a baker's bread, even if it's not usually the case, meaning like a bake sale or something that is, that there's no, a person is not usually, could be baked in his own house, so to speak, but if it's baked for sale, then it's called pas nachtom, it's called baker's bread. V'kein nachdom, and also the reverse. Let's say a baker, she'asol l'bnei beiso, that produced this bread in order to take home, mikra b'alabayis. Even if he produced it in the bakery, it's now called bread of a private person. V'yesh mi she'omer, and there are those that say, de'b'makom she'ein nachdom matzui, in a place that there's no baker available, mutar afilu b'pas shel b'alabayis, v'ein otzerach l'hamtin al pas kasher. That in a place where there is no baker at all, it's some remote place, there's no public bakery, everybody bakes their own, so there are those that say, says the Kitzer, that there's a person is even allowed to have bread for private consumption, v'chein nohagim, and that is the prevalent minhag. That is what the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch has decreed. Sif Beis. Im ha-Yisrael hishlich afilu rak etz echad. If the Jew put even one piece of wood, letocha tanor beheseko, into the tanor, into the oven beheseko, as a kindling or as fuel, mutar hapas, then the bread is permitted, velo have paskoi, and it's not even called pas, bread of a non-Jew. Meaning that once the Jew has some level of involvement in the preparation, in the baking of the bread, even just tossing one stick of coal into the fire, that's already called Pas Yisrael. If Gimel. Lo asru pas shel nachri, ela shel chameshes mine dagan. The prohibition of bread of a non-Jew only applies to the five grains. Ava pas kisnes, but a pas, bread that is made from kitnios, that is made from various legumes, and it has here in Yiddish three different types, tengre, kokretach, malia. I believe those are all types of cornbread and things made from various starches. Eina b'chal pas, and it is not part of the. It's not part of a bread. It's not included in this decree. V'gam eino asur mishum b'shulei goyim, and as a corollary, it is not prohibited under the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew, which we haven't touched yet. But he is just pointing out that these are not prohibited under that prohibition, because it is not considered something fit for the king's table. I guess now is the time to introduce that. Really, we're going to get to it in Sif Vav, but the prohibition of cooked food by a non-Jew applies to all foods that need to be cooked, as we're going to see, and only foods that are substantial enough to be quote-unquote fit for the king's table. Obviously, this doesn't mean an actual king. It usually means foods that are sufficiently fancy to be served by a caterer. Sif Dalet. Pas shepanav tuchim beveitzim. A bread that had the top of the loaf was smeared with an egg mixture. Tuchim smeared with eggs. Asur mishum shabeitzim shalov. The Kitzur Anar says that such a loaf of bread is problematic because of the eggs that have been smeared on it, right? The eggs that have been painted on are problematic. Because the eggs are prohibited under the prohibition of food cooked by a non-Jew. The osam rekikin, right, and a long, thin type, item, shene'efin al barzel, that are baked on metal, right? Perhaps they're baked on a metal spit. Perhaps it's like a something like that, or perhaps on a metal grate. V'yesh lochosh, and there is reason to suspect shenimsha chabarzel be'ez shuman, that the metal that these breads were baked on has been coated, has been wiped down with some sort of fat. Asurim b'kol inyan mishum b'lias eser. They are totally prohibited because the metal has absorbed the flavor of something prohibited, meaning we don't think that this non-Jewish baker got his hands on Jewish fat, right, or kosher fat. It's most likely, lard or some prohibited shortening, and that's why those are prohibited. Okay. If, hey, Pas Yisrael, she'afa ugoi. Jewish bread, however, was baked by a non-Jew. Garua mi pasgoi, says the Kitzur Anar, it's even worse than bread baked by a non-Jew. The aser mishum b'shulei goyim, and it is prohibited according to the rules of food cooked by a non-Jew. Im lo hechsher es hatanar behashlochas ha'etz. unless the oven was quote-unquote koshered, meaning the oven was not dealt with appropriately, was not prepared for this item, this baking, this cooking, by tossing in a piece of wood. And it is necessary to be particularly vigilant with this. When you send to bake or to roast by a non-Jewish baker, that a Jew should actually go and place wood into the fire. Or the other option is that the Jew should place the bread or the dish into the oven. Meaning that, let's say the food is prepared in a Jewish kitchen, and that food prepared in a Jewish kitchen is now sent over to like a central oven, right? You know, back in Europe, it was expensive to operate an oven, and many times there was like a central oven, and people who operated commercial ovens would almost rent out space in it. So you prepare the thing in the house, and that's why it's Pas Yisrael, it's prepared by a Jew, but, and then you walk it over to the oven to just be cooked, or baked, or both. And so, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, this is problematic, because then it would be prohibited on the grounds of Bishule Goyim, and what a person must make sure to do is that when you send that out, either food to be cooked or bread to be baked, that the Jew who brings it either puts wood into the fire to quote-unquote, you know, make the fire a Jewish fire, or is the one actually placing it in the oven. Either one of those actions would render it Pas Yisrael or Bishul Yisrael, and then would alleviate the prohibition. If Vav, and here we meet the prohibition of Bishul Akum, Bishul Goyim, first time. Davar, an item. She'enu ne'achol kmo shehu chai. An item which may not be eaten raw. Right? Chai means raw in this context. Something, you know, any food which is not edible raw. V'gam ole al shulchan melachim. And also it is sufficiently fancy to be, quote-unquote, fit for the king's table. Le'lapes bo'es ha'pas, whether it's something to be eaten with bread, O la parperes, or on its own as an aperitif or some sort of item. Shebishlo o tzla o goy, that has been cooked or roasted by a non-Jew. Afilu bekli Yisrael, even in a utensil that belongs to a Jew. Ubebeis Yisrael, in the Jew's house. Aser mishum bishule goyim. The prohibition, it is prohibited because of food cooked by a non-Jew. If a non-Jew cooks the food, it's prohibited. Right? As long as it is, one, not edible raw, and two, something sufficiently fancy fit for the king's table. Aval davar, however, an item, shehu ne'achol kmo shehu chai, that is edible raw, like an apple. O shehu davar she'enu chashuv ve'enu olel shulchan melachim, something which is not significant, not impressive, and does not, you know, not fit for the king's table, like those various cornbreads and things that he mentioned earlier. Ein bo mishum bishulei goyim. It does not. It is not subject to the prohibition of foods cooked by non-Jew. Ve'in lachush lekelim, and one does not need to suspect that the utensils used contained trey flavor. D'stam kelim ein b'nei yomim, that most of the time utensils have not been used in the last 24 hours, and therefore it is not always the case that those utensils would transfer the trey flavor, would absorb the non-kosher flavor. Cause it to be absorbed by the food. Se'if Zayin. Sh'ifra Goya. Beveis Yisrael. A non-Jewish servant, right? A non-Jewish maidservant, in the house of a Jew. Hamavashalos B'Yisrael Yisraelim. Who also cooks for the Jews. Nohagim Hakel. There are those, right, who are lenient in this regard. Mipnei She'if Shar Shalo Yechate Achad M'Bnei Abayis Ba'ish. Because it is impossible, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that one of the members of the household will not also stir the fire. Meaning, as we said before, food cooked by a non-Jew is only prohibited if a Jew did not also, so to speak, kosher the fire or toss a piece of wood in or something like that. And so, if there's, you know, somebody who is a live-in, somebody who's a maidservant that is in the house for long periods of time and cooks in the family's own kitchen, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that there are those who are who have accustomed to be lenient in such a regard because Somebody definitely stirred the pot. Somebody definitely did something to the fire, and that would have enabled the food to avoid the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew. Aval, however, in Sifches, im him vashas bishvil atzma levada. But if she is cooking for herself alone, ein regilus shiachate Yisrael. There's no regilus is like something that you're used to, meaning you can't bank on it, you can't assume that it happened, that a Jew stirred up the fire or stoked up the fire. Ve'efshar de lo mahaneh b'zeh chitui. And it's possible that lo mahaneh, it is not good enough in this regard, b'zeh chitui, the stirring of the fire. Meaning it's possible that's not a sufficient action to avoid the prohibition. De gara mi'ilu mevasheres b'zeh Yisrael. Because gara, it is less than, right? Meaning that such an action is less significant and is less momentous than in the case where she is cooking for the Jew. And therefore, im bishla dvarim, therefore if she cooked things, she yesh behem mishum bishulei goyim, that if she cooked, let's say she cooked a food which is subject to the prohibition, it's sufficiently fancy and it's not eaten raw, lo levada tavshel aser. Not just is that food prohibited according to the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew, elagam akdeiru nesra, but also the pot becomes prohibited levasha balachatchila to cook in such a pot because that pot now becomes a pot that something non-kosher was cooked in it. Why is it non-kosher? Because it is subject to the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew. Ubedi eved. And post facto, if such a thing had happened, and you accidentally, not only did this happen, but then you accidentally cooked something else in the pot, and you want to know, is that new food also non-kosher because it was cooked in the pot that has the questionable kashrus, because that's where the non-Jewish maidservant cooked her own food, ya'aseh she'ilas chacham. You should take it to you should perform a question to a kashrus authority. Se'if test. A non-Jew, goy shebishal b'shabbes b'shvil chola. A non-Jew who cooks on Shabbos for someone who is ill. Hatamshel asur b'motzei Shabbos afilu l'chola. So on Shabbos, obviously this needed to happen, and that's why the person who's ill, the chola, is allowed to have it. However, motzei Shabbos comes along. The food is prohibited, even to the same sick person himself. Im efshar b'tavshel acher, if it is a possibility to do it with a different food. V'akelim yesh lahater acher me'eslais, and the utensils, those are permitted to be used after a 24-hour period. The words me'eslais from time to time is a halachic term for a 24-hour period. Siv yud, beta, egg. Even though an egg is re'uya, it is fitting, right? It is possible to swallow it chaya raw. Mikol makom, nonetheless, kaven dehave zerak achila yedeat chak. Since the swallowing of an egg raw is only considered eating al yedeat chak under cases of duress, im bishlagoy asura. If it was cooked by a non-Jew, it is prohibited, and also anything like it. Meaning, even foods that can be eaten raw, but they're only eaten raw under duress, like an egg, like other items which are never really eaten raw, even though technically one could, but nobody really does, those are subject to the prohibition, and if a non-Jew cooks them, they are forbidden under the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew. Yud Aleph. Peros. Fruits, shalom nisbashlu ba'ila and kol tzarkan, that were not ripened, nisbashlu here, even though nisbashlu means cooked, here it means ripened, right? They were not ripened on the tree until they were fully ripe, kol tzarkan, all of their need. Ve'inan ne'echon chayin, and they're not edible raw, meaning that sometimes a fruit is harvested before it is fully ripe, and it's obviously inedible in its unripened state, but the cuisine calls for it to be harvested then, and then cooked or done something to it in order to make it edible. Such an item, aveina nechon chayin el yedei chak, and again, they would not be eaten raw unless there was a period of duress. Sha'umnin metagnin osam besukar, because literally the artisans or the chefs fry them, metagnin, they fry them with sugar. Asurim mishum beshule goyim. These are prohibited because of the reason of foods cooked by non-Jew. Because even though they're fruits, and normally fruits are edible raw, here the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that since when they were harvested from the tree, they were harvested unripened in order to further facilitate this particular frying, sugaring process, since at the time of harvest they were not edible, they're not considered fruits that are edible raw, and then they are subject to the prohibition. Yud Beis. This is Siv Yud Beis, Siv 12. Sheikhar. Booze. Booze, or spirits, as they call them, Sheltvua, right? Spirits that are made from grains. Vesheldvash, and that are made from honey. Right? So it's basically as forms of beer or distilled alcohol, or mead, which is a honey distilled alcohol. Nohagin bo heter lishtoso afilu babayis. Those who it is permissible, or those who conduct themselves and permit drinking it, even in the house, shemochron oso agoyim, even in the very house the non-Jews sell it. Ve'im bo mishum bishulei goyim, and it is not subject to the prohibition of foods cooked by non-Jew, de'atvua batla b'mayim, because the grains are totally negligible compared to the water. Meaning that even though in order to produce those type of alcoholic distilled beverages, there had to be some sort of cooking going on, the grains in question had to be boiled or something, and that would be subject to the prohibition of cooking. However, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but all that process is totally negligible compared to the liquid volume, which is just water, that is subsequently added to it, and therefore he does not consider it subject to the prohibition of foods cooked by a non-Jew. Rak shetrichin lachkor. However, he adds that a person must investigate. Im ein ma'amidin osan b'shimre yayin. If the alcoholic spirits are not left to ferment b'shimre yayin, in wine, wine fermentation or wine sediment, many times people who produce spirits have all sorts of elaborate mixtures and nuances of flavors that they generate. And one of the ways they do that is by bringing their immature beverage in contact with wine barrels or things that have also wine sediment or wine flavor absorbed into them. And of course, if the wine in question was not kosher, so the spirits in question will also be not kosher. Ubemakom sheYisraelim mezalzalin umekilin b'yayin shel goyim. However, if it is a place where the Jews are they belittle and they are unduly lenient with the prohibition of drinking wine that was made by a non-Jew, which we didn't discuss yet, but there's also a prohibition. Yesh leba'al nefesh lehachmer al atzmo gam b'sheicher. A person who is called a ba'al nefesh, literally it means a master of his spirit, and is usually a term for those who hold their religious obligations in high regard and those who are praiseworthy because they dictate to their conscience a high level of compliance with halacha. Such a person should be strict upon himself, should be stringent, and even extend this prohibition to alcoholic spirits, even though they're not directly affected by the prohibition of non-Jewish wine. Ubeinishtias kafe, and regarding drinking coffee, parenthetically, he adds, bli chalav, that's without milk, the im chalav vaday asur, because with milk it's certainly prohibited, and that we're going to see in the next siman exactly why non-Jewish milk is going to be prohibited. Vekain chocolat, also chocolate. Here, I believe he's talking about drinking, meaning some sort of hot chocolate drink and not edible chocolate. Vete and tea, etzel goy. So, also drinking these drinks, these fancy drinks, coffee, hot chocolate, tea, at a non-Jew. Shomer nafsho, a person who is vigilant for his own spirit, yarchik atzmo, will distance himself from such a thing. V'yesh matirin lishtos derech harai, and there are those who permit drinking it on occasion. Derech harai means not in a regular fashion, but, here and there. Aval derech kvius aser. But certainly if one does it regularly, it is prohibited. Right, the Shulchan Aruch mentions that even though these drinks are not alcoholic in any nature, and they certainly don't have anything to do with non-Jewish wine, nonetheless, because they are significant drinks, a person should not drink them with a non-Jew, or really he says Eitzel Goy, that's I guess being hosted by a non-Jew, and should not drink them with any regularity, but here and there it is permissible. Sif Yud Gimel. Sif Yud Gimel discusses the prohibition of non-Jewish milk milked by a non-Jew, and that prohibition, pardon me, does not only include milk milked by a non-Jew because of undue intimacy and undue intermingling, which could cause intermarriage, but it is primarily instituted to prevent the non-kosher milk, because non-kosher milk, the mixing in of non-kosher milk, the kosher milk was a very common practice, and non-kosher milk was held to be a preservative and something to keep cow's milk fresh, and so therefore the sages enacted certain safeguards, certain rabbinic decrees against the consumption of milk milked by a non-Jew because they were afraid of the mixing in of non-kosher milk. Okay, so if you'd give chalav, milk, shechol v'goy, that a non-Jew milked, ve'en Yisrael lo'ehu, and a Jew does not see the actual milking process, aser, afilu asos menagvina, it is prohibited even to make cheese of it, ulechatchila, and initially, tzarech Yisrael lihiyos b'tchilas achaliva, that really, you know, in the ideal sense, a Jew should be present even in the beginning of the milking process, v'yira, and he should see, shakli v'nakik, that the utensil is clean, the utensil is obviously untainted by non-kosher milk. V'nahagu l'hachmer, and it has been the practice to be strict or stringent, shelo yachlov l'tocha kli, shedarko shalagoy lachlov l'tocho, that if a Jew is going to consume the milk, that it should not be milked into the utensil that the non-Jew normally milks into. Ushfachos shechovos habehemos v'es Yisrael, and let's say there are employees or servants, maidservants, who milk the animals in a household that belongs to a Jew, o badir shalahem, or in the, you know, in the barn. Kol makom she'en beis goy mafsik, any place where there is no household of a non-Jew, sort of like in the way, meaning let's say it's some sort of farm, and so there are barns and outhouses and all sorts of things. Even if the farmhouse is you know a quarter mile down the road, as long as there's no household of a non-Jew in between, meaning that there's no reason to suspect that non-Jewish milk was like smuggled in, was on the way. And there's no reason to suspect that a non-kosher animal was also around, was also involved. It is permissible even in the ideal case, to let them go and perform the milking. Aval, however, in Beis Goy Mafsik, if there is a house of a non-Jew that is, in between, Tzarech Shiyas HaMisrael, that there needs to be a Jew, meaning if, let's say, between the barn and the main house where the milking is taking place, so there are various outbuildings, and some of them also house non-Jewish employees who may or may not raise their own non-kosher animals, then you need to have a Jew present at the milking. V'afilu katana uktana, or even if the person witnessing it, the Jew witnessing it, is not above bar mitzvah age, even if they are a minor, Bnei Teisha Shanim, of 9 years old, Sagi, that is good enough. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that as long as some Jew is watching it, and obviously would know, right, the reason he gives the 9-year-old sort of qualifier is that they would be aware of the need to make sure that there is no, treif ingredient mixed in, and they would notice it, they wouldn't be totally, distracted, then that is good enough. If you dalit, Sif 14, Gvinos Hagoyim Asuros, cheese that is made by non-Jew is prohibited. V'ime Yisrael roe hachaliva v'asiyas hagvinos, but if the Jew sees the milking and the making of the cheese, im hagvinos v'shasa asiyas neshen Yisrael mutaros, if while they're being made, the cheese is owned by the Jew, then it is permitted. Meaning that the Jew has to see the milking, see the making of the cheese, and actually own the cheese in order for it to be permitted. However, if the cheese during the production process still technically belonged to the non-Jew, then they are prohibited, even if a Jew saw the milking and the cheesing process. That is a rabbinic decree of non-Jewish cheese, and that is what the Kishon Aruch decrees. So if Tesavov, last one, 15, Hachema, butter, right? Hachema, Talia b'minhag ha'makomos. Butter depends on the custom in the place where you are. Yesh mekomos, there are those places, she'en ochlin chema shel goyim, that one does not partake of butter that was churned by a non-Jew. Yesh mekomos she'ochlin osa, and there are those places who do partake of it. Umi she'olich memakom she'en ochlin osa, lemakom she'ochlin osa. Right, the question here is whether or not butter, which is derived from milk, falls under the prohibition of non-Jewish milk. Meaning butter is not mentioned specifically in the Gemara when the Gemara prohibits non-Jewish milk, and it is not mentioned by the prohibition of cheese. So butter is like a dairy product, which is neither. And so the later poskim debate, okay, is it subject to the same prohibition or not? And so there are those who are lenient, and they do partake, and there are those who are strict, and do not partake. And says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Mi sheholech mimakom she'ein ochlin osa, lemakom she'ochlin osa, but if a person travels from a place that he does not partake to a place that they are that they do eat it, afal pi shedata lachzor mekomo, well, even though it is his contention, it is his intention to return to where he came from, ochel shamimam, nonetheless he is permitted to be lenient like the minig of the locals. V'aholech mimakom she'ochlin osa, l'makom she'en ochlin osa. However, the opposite is also true. And somebody who comes from a place where they are lenient, and he goes to a place where they are strict, osa l'ochla sham. It is prohibited to eat it there, meaning that just because you do it back in your place, since the place you're in now, they are strict, and they do not partake of it, then you may not partake of it at that place also. In parentheses, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Ka'ish Neshma, and now it is heard, Shemezayven Ezachema B'Shumen Chazer, that they are faking or forging the butter with lard, with the fat from a pig, and obviously lard being completely not kosher, Al-Kain, therefore, Shomer Nafsho Yirchak. Therefore, a person who is particularly vigilant of the status of his soul should distance himself from such things. This was the Sif Lamed Ches. Just as a small conclusionary note, a lot of these halachos refer to food production in sort of more primitive forms, meaning where one could be relatively certain that the raw ingredients used were kosher because they were just plain grains or liquids or things that are barely subject to kosher's prohibitions. Modern food production is infinitely more complex, and as such, certainly before understanding these halachos and applying them practically, one should conduct a more in-depth understanding of the topics covered and a more in-depth understanding of modern food production and the various kosher's problems that could rise up. That was Sif Lamed Ches. Let's go.